reading to you from the 17th chapter of Luke, and with the third verse. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been sharing Christ ever since. Boy, friends, we got a snowstorm going here now. You know, isn't it funny, all these global warming dudes? Oh, they say this is supposed to be the coldest winter in centuries. Well, I believe it. Boy, oh boy. We've had snow after snow after snow. But you know, one nice thing about Colorado, we have lots of sunshine. In spite of the snow, we get a lot of sunshine. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to the 20th chapter of Jeremiah, and let's begin reading with the 9th verse. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay. Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you'll anoint this message, speak through hearts, speak to the lost, encourage the Christians. And Lord, we're living in troubled time just like Jeremiah. And Father, help us to have a strong hand. Help us, Lord, to realize that we can do nothing apart from the Lord. So, blessed Holy Spirit, we beg that this message will touch lives of the lost and will encourage the Christian. And we'll be so careful to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We've labeled this the preacher who couldn't quit. Now, friends, I can really relate to this. You know, for years, my quartet and my wife and I, we went to state prisons, federal prisons, all over the state of Colorado. I preached in San Quentin. I preached in great, large penitentiaries back east and in the west coast. And I know this. I had to slow down. And if you think that is not easy or hard, try it. I just yearned to be able to go to these prisons. And friends, you say, well, why do you want to go to prisons? Because, beloved, that's where the action is. These people have done a terrible thing, some of them. They're there because they broke the law or whatever. But nonsense, they say it's nonsense, because a lot of them will say, oh, I'm not guilty. Oh, I'm not guilty. Well, sure they're guilty. Oh, I suppose 1 out of 100 might not be guilty. But anyway, these men and women are hurting. And I mean really, really hurting. We never, never, ever have a service in either the men's prison or the women's prison that there isn't weeping. Men and women weeping because of the sins in their life. And I've asked this question many times. How many of you here tonight or today have went to your bunk at night and you laid down and tears started streaming down your eyes? Man, the hands will go up all over. Why? I said, because You're brokenhearted. You're sorry, some of you, for your sins. Some of you are sorry you get caught. But I know that God knows all about you. Now, I would be the most terrible preacher in the world if I didn't preach a second chance Christianity. Jesus came in this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. And Jeremiah lived in troubled times. Dear friends, dear Christian friends, let me tell you, America is in trouble. Big trouble. I was so happy to hear that our governor resigned, is not going to run a second term. He cost 1,440,000 jobs in this state. And now we see that many of our leading Democrats are resigning. They're stepping down. Listen, friends, if this government-controlled health program that Mr. Obama wants happens, you can write us off. We're doomed. And if you'll notice, every state in the union almost now is okaying same-sex marriages, which is totally against the Word of God. Read the Romans. Now, he was given a very difficult message to proclaim. And I want you to know, friends, when a man has the nerve to stand up and say, this is what God said to say, he's going to get some opposition. You think I don't get opposition when I preach? You bet I do. But I know that if I'm taking it from the Word of God, I know that it's going to go, it's going to accomplish that which God intended for it to do. The trials of this people made Jeremiah a man of tears. Oh, my stars. You know, every preacher, every God-called preacher in the world should always get down on their knees and weep before God and say, God, give me the message that my people need to hear. Now, I want you to know one time I was at my first church there in Oregon. And I mentioned in passing, I've never preached a sermon on cigarette smoking. I've never done that. But in passing, I testified that God convicted me of my cigarettes. In fact, the matter is, I can honestly say, God never called me to preach until I surrendered those cigarettes. Now, you might say, oh, that's a bunch of poppycock. It's not. It's true. Well, I mentioned this in passing. She went to everybody in our church and said, we have to fire Cecil Moe because he's went to meddling now. Well, all of her family smoked, and they lived on welfare. Not that that's a great disgrace, but it's not good to live on welfare. And they went down, they got free clothes, they got free stamps, they got this and that. And you know what? No one believed her, and no one would complain about it. But she did because I spoke against something and she loved to do. You think, beloved, that I wanted to quit smoking? Absolutely not. But nowadays, beloved, it's much harder to quit smoking than when I did 54 years ago. Why? Because they're putting more of that junk in that tobacco that makes you crave. Hey, you know why you're gaining weight? You say, well, yeah, because I eat too much. No, it's because of the junk that they put in our food. That corn syrup is the most fattening thing in the world. And you look at your labels on your food and you'll find most everything that you and I eat today has corn syrup in it. Look it up. Well, Jeremiah saw what was happening. He got a call from God. He got the message from God. And he said, now I've got to get out. But he was frightened sometimes. In fact, he got angry sometimes. Well, speaking out for God brought Jeremiah complete persecution. Telling the truth cost this prophet his freedom. Now, some countries, like in China, like in Cuba, and like in Korea, and like in India, if you preach the gospel, you have a good chance of getting thrown in jail. And I imagine someday that will come to America. because our president does not cotton to Christianity. In fact, the book he wrote, he said if he had to choose between Christianity and being a Muslim, he'd take the Muslim way. It's in his book. Don't get mad at me. It's in his book. Well, he was stricken by Pashur, the son of the high priest. And finding himself in prison, Jeremiah wanted to quit. He wanted to resign. Now, why couldn't this discouraged preacher quit? Well, I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why for sure. He was sure of God's call. He said, I will not speak anymore in his name. Oh, he was kind of upset at God. No, I don't want to do that. Now, Jeremiah had been telling people about God. Well, he'd been speaking with God's authority. And dear friends, I want you to know, if the preacher is not speaking with the authority of God, he should not be in the pulpit today. Now, I don't know whether you know this, but I was saved 55 years ago. The churches are absolutely nowhere near what they was when I was first saved. Well, I'm telling you, first of all, you look at their music. Their music is horrible. They have completely disregarded the music that we have in our hymn books. Oh, my friends, the music that those men and women of old wrote were heavenly music. It was convicting music. It was God's authority was given for that music. But no, they don't want it anymore. Now, I've been told, well, we've got to start reaching our college kids. Well, I got news for you, my friend. Many of our college kids are a joke. That's right. They make fun of God. Some of these kids were brought up in a Christian home, but that don't make them a Christian, of course. And they get into college and they hear these godless professors who deny the Lord, deny the Bible, deny everything about it. Now they're still trying to prove that the world was not formed by God. That's their sure do it. You know, there was two lawyers one time, and they decided, they were atheists, so they took the word of God and they said, we're going to prove to the world once and for all that God is a phony and a fake. Well, guess what happened 6 months later? Both of them, and they used the Bible for authority, they studied the book, and both of them came to the decision that they were dead wrong, that God did form the earth, God did bring light into the world, God did bring us our animals and all these things. Well, if you say you don't believe there's a God, you're in bad shape. Oh, my stars, you're in bad shape. Because if you were dying that condition, you'll burn in the devil's hell. I didn't make that up. I didn't make that up. And God himself does not, I repeat, God does not send a person to hell. You are the one that tells God where you want to spend eternity. With the mouth, confession is made. Oh, unto salvation. Well, serving God had been his life work. And I read in verse 4. I've got to get back into verse 4. Verse 4, it says, because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. This Muslim God that you hear spoke about is not a real God. Boy, they know. Hey, listen, friends. Would you tell me, if you read the Book of Muslims and it said that if you go out and kill infidels, and that's what they call us because we don't believe in Quran, and they want to kill us, they want to kill the Jews, and they want to go to heaven to meet the virgins. If that isn't the stupidest thing, well, at first, Jeremiah had been afraid to preach. Verse 5 and 6. They had built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Topheth, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. Well, but let me tell you what. God confirmed Jeremiah's call. And listen to this, verse 7 and 9. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hands of them that seek their lives. And their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of the heavens and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate, and a hissing, every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friends in the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. Thou shalt go to all that I have shall send thee. I have put my words in thy mouth. How could Jeremiah quit when he was called by God? Friends, I told you this story years ago, but my first church, oh my stars, I hadn't preached very much. I was scared to death. And we had about 100 people the first Sunday that I was there. And while the organist was playing, I started walking toward the pulpit, and my Sunday school teacher, who was a half-breed Indian, nicest, sweetest brother I ever had, he was my deacon, he said, "Brother Mo, you look frightened." "Oh," I said, "I am." He said, "Well, we got to take you where we can find power." So him and his Sunday school superintendent and his Sunday school teacher, we went in the back room and we got down on our knees, and that dear old deacon started praying. "Oh God," he said, "this is just a young preacher. He's never had a church before. And he's frightened. But oh God, anoint him. Give him the courage that you've called him to preach. He knows that." And while he was praying, I heard a still little voice. "Fear not, for I am with thee." I got up off my knees and wiped the tears in my eyes and went up in the pulpit and preached my heart out, because I had found where power comes from: on your bended knees. There's not enough pastors today that get on their bended knees, because if they had, we wouldn't have this goofy music. We wouldn't have these churches that they don't give invitations. They don't do anything. They just get up there and yakety-yak. Now, he was saturated with God's holy word. Now, his word was in his heart as a burning fire. Oh, beloved, preaching was more than an occupation to Jeremiah. Friends, I went to my aunt's funeral one time, and I saw my second cousin there. And he was going to seminary, and I hadn't gone yet, because I didn't go to seminary, but I went to Bible college. He said, "Cease, who are you preaching for? What denomination?" So I told him. I said, "What denomination are you involved with?" "Well," he said, "whichever one wants me the most." Oh, he was full of self, all right. And I don't even believe to this day that man is even saved. I love him, but he doesn't. He told me he doubts the Bible. And if you doubt the Bible, you've got no business being in a pulpit proclaiming it. His passion in life was to give God's message to his people. They were in trouble, and he knew that God had given the message, and if he delivered it, something was going to happen. See, Jeremiah had filled his mind with God's word, and this kept him mindful of God's love for people in spite of their sins. Friends, he had witnessed the power of God to change lives. We need more sermons on changed lives. Years of preaching now prevented Jeremiah from quitting. If you'd like to quench a roaring fire, you can't do it. Jeremiah was a preacher with fire in his bones. Let me ask you this something. Have you ever heard your preacher speak of his call? You say, man, as a matter of fact, I haven't. Well, then you need to challenge him. You need to ask him to stand before the congregation and tell when he received his call from God to preach. There's too many pulpits today filled with preachers who are not called from God. They think it's a profession. It is not. It is a calling. He must tell the people of the seriousness of sin. And I'll tell you something else, and you notice this yourself. Notice in your own church. The word repentance isn't preached much today. They don't preach repent. Instead, it lets you repent, you likewise perish. You must also tell the people of God's forgiveness and how available it is. Oh, and it is. He was sure his message would meet the needs of his people. Now, Jeremiah's confidence in God's word brought a conflict to his mind. He knew God's message would irritate some. Well, we're supposed to get up and preach the gospel and let the chips fall where they may. The man that introduced me to Christ, I never sat through a sermon that I wasn't challenged. He stepped on our toes every Sunday, but he did it with love. Why? Because he wanted us to be something for Jesus, and we were. And I'll tell you, we started that church, started three big churches from nothing. He knew the people needed to hear in spite of their opposition. Holding back placed Jeremiah in great distress. Oh, friends, I know what he felt like. He became weary with his struggle for silence, and he finally gave up and went back to preach. And you remember Jonah? When he received his call, what did he do? He took off like a herd of turtles. He got on a ship and went the wrong way. But God stopped him. Now, and he said, have you, and I'm asking you this, have you become weary in your service for God? Oh, friends, don't quit. People that need to hear what you have to say. You know, Paul surrendered after trying to destroy the church and Christians. He sure did. He did it in what? In total ignorance. Friends, I can take you to the place, I can tell you the time, where it was, that God spoke to my heart on that roof many, many years ago, 54 years ago to be exact, and called me to preach. I thought, for one time, God really made a mistake, because I don't have enough on the ball to be a preacher. Well, sometimes we get discouraged, and I remember the day I accepted Jesus Christ, the first thing God laid on my heart was my two brothers. I prayed for my youngest brother for 23 years before he accepted Jesus. I prayed for my oldest brother for 26 years, and I finally had the privilege of introducing him in Christ. But both of them are in heaven today. I never quit. Don't you quit. Have you given up in prayer? Has the devil said he won't answer you? Well, he will. Are you harboring secret sin? Confess it. Turn from it. Forgive everyone who wronged you. I forgave my evil stepmother after 45 years of carrying hate for her in my heart. Friends, listen. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, I'll guarantee you. But, oh, I want to insist on you. Come to Jesus. If you don't know him, you say, well, I'm a church member. Well, I got news for you. That don't get you into heaven. Being baptized sure not going to get you to heaven. Doing good works not going to get you to heaven. Ye must be born again. Born once. He said you got to be born twice. I'm here to tell you right now, I'm giving you an invitation to come to Jesus as a little child. And if you got a tugging at your heart and you want to trust Jesus, bow your head with me right now and pray the most powerful prayer you'll ever pray in your life. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my wayward life. And oh God, I'm opening my heart right now and inviting you in to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen, Amen and amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. No, I won't use your name on the air. No, I won't embarrass you. No, I won't sit down and write to ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now
friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. I want you to pray for Winna Rushing. She's the one that wrote that great and famous song, Mama. She's writing this song about my life. And I want it to be glorifying God, not a silly old man, but to glorify God. Jesus found me in the gutter. He saved my soul. Put my foot on a solid rock and call me to go into the world and preach the gospel. I've tried to do it. I go to prison sometime when I'm so sick I can't hardly walk. Well, I don't. I ride my scooter. Put my oxygen in there and put my Bible and away we go. Because I've got a story to tell about Jesus. He saved me and he called me. Friend, listen. If you're backslidden, won't you tell Jesus you're sorry? And ask him to forgive you and to restore you the joy of your salvation. Well, friend, in this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.